Today's daf in Masechet Gittin, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Aleph. And remember that we are in the middle of the last part of our perek, which has switched from the inyanim of the Tikkun Olam, in the elements that are mostly focused on financial matters, and moved on to Bipnei Darkei Shalom. So things that are there in order to avoid getting into altercations and perhaps breaking down social relationships, as opposed to the inyanim of Tikkun Olam, which over there allows the functioning of law and society. So the next thing that we had right at the top over here on the second line of Samach Aleph is that there is a takana to make anything that a cheresh shayta v'katan finds to belong to them. And somebody who steals lollipops from babies is considered, in fact, to be a gazlan. And in that case as well, Rabbi Yossi said, Gezel Gomor. So we've had all of these cases where Rabbi Yossi says, Gezel Gomor. And Rav Chisda explains that when we talk about Gezel Gomor, he doesn't mean that it's a deraisa. He means that it's Gezel Gomor, but also he agrees that it's only medivrei him. So then, what's the difference? Or my nafkamina? I mean, what's the difference? We call it Gezel Gomor. What is a big difference? The nafkamina is lotzi'o pedayanim. So according to Rabbi Yossi, the takona that it was considered to be Gezel means that we gave it all of the dinim of actual Gezel, not just asserted it as Gezel, in which case it is recoverable in court. The next case we had was of Ani Hamanakev Barosh HaZayin. So if there is an ani that's collecting peya or leket on top of a tree and the fruit, so this is the question, how to understand a manakev. I mentioned Rabbanei at the beginning, I didn't like his translation of manakev for just hitting it so that it falls, because we have actually an important machlokas rishonim about how far this goes, as we'll see in this case. So the takana was masha tachtav, whatever is under the tree belongs to the ani. So Tana, imli keid v'natan biyad, hareza gezel gomor. If, however, the ani was actually kaina, now, Tosus learns, and this means that he was picked it by his hand, but he didn't hold it in his hand. And there, if he didn't hold it in his hand, so then he was mapil it directly. So even though that would be the case, and it wasn't a real kinyan, that is enough that would be considered to be really his. And it's Gezel Gomor. And that would work out with the pshat that menakif means only where you hit it and then it falls. The problem is that Rashi learns that the case would be where he was actually picked it up and set it down on the ground. So over there it needed to be completely matu liyade. So for some reason, Rashi holds that Menakev would include even Tosfos' case of where he picked it with his fingers and dropped it. So it was not in his hand at all. That would be considered also only to be Gezel, midivrei. Tana, im likid v'natan b'yadar, is a Gezel Gomer. So now Rav Kahana was once ka'azilu hutzel. He was once going towards hutzel, and he sees a guy, chazilahu gavad avishade ufye, so he sees somebody throwing these sticks up on a tree to knock down some of the dates. And it's okay, the dates fall. And also, come on, kitviyochel. So he goes and he takes some of these dates that are on the ground. So the guy said to him, Omale, chazim ar de biyadoy shaditinu. Excuse me, sir, but I actually had thrown some of these down with my hands, in which case they would be usher. So the pashtus, and there's a little bit of a problem, because if that's the only reason that he's finding that they're usher, so then why wouldn't even the simple case be, if he hadn't picked them up with his hands, why wouldn't they be usher because of Oni Amenakev in terms of the questions of the takana of Mipnei Darkei Shalom, which is Tosis points out, doesn't make much sense. If he was just throwing things on them, Tosis understands that the point is that he was tearing off the choriot of the deco, which means the actual palm leaves that included the dates. and that he thought that the person was actually only interested in taking the chariot, that he needed the wood. So he thought that he could get away with taking the dates. And the person told him, listen, you know, I already was kena these dates. So anyway, so Rav Kahana was very impressed because he saw, this guy is like a regular guy. I mean, he's not a Talmud Chacham or anything. And he's telling him, like, you know, it has a Tana Gezel. Why are you taking it? Omar Lei. So he said to him, oh my gosh, I see that you come from Hutzal. Rabbi Yoshi has the Rav. And Rabbi Yoshi teaches everybody. By the time you go to Ishirim, just listening on Shabbos, you're already a Talmud Chacham. So Miatre de Rabbi Yoshi Ata. Korya Levit Sadiq Yesod Olam. A place where Rabbi Yoshi is, everybody in the area knows his halach is called. Ein b'machin b'day ani nochri, ani ein nochrim, b'leket shekol peyam mipnei darkei shalom. So actually, the Braita points out that the mipnei darkei shalom goes a lot further than just the din of not being mocher and not throwing them out and saying, I'm sorry, we don't allow non-Jews here, but that there's really a much more powerful halacha, which is that we actually give tzedakah. We find the siman yeno chrim imani Yisrael. Forget about not throwing them out of shikleket shikopeya. We actually are mefarnes them in order for it to be, you know, like a Jewish fund, but that we're not chas v'shalom racists or anything like that. And if they come and they want money, you know, we'll give them money also. Umbevakrim b'chol yeno chrim b'chol Yisrael. We send around people to the hospitals. The rabbi comes to the hospital. He's going to be mevaker chola to whoever's in the room. You know, if there's goyim there, he'll talk to them. He'll be mevaker chola, pray for them. Vikovrim imeitei nochrim imeitei Yisrael. Obviously, this doesn't mean that we literally, as the Rishonim talk out, it doesn't mean we bury them together with the Jews in a mokum where we're burying the Jews. It means that if there was some kind of catastrophe or there was a mess, some type of mass problem where there were a lot of people that were killed in an explosion, whatever, that we will actually send Zaka to take care of the dead that are both Jewish and non-Jewish. But of course, I mean, in terms of where we actually bury them, that has nothing to do with this. But this is B'nei Darkei Shalom, we're mitapel in their metim, also B'nei Darkei Shalom, which leads us directly to Sir Richard. And now Doc is right under you, so I'd be very careful. Wow. All right. Old Man River. Mash'elet ishalach averta chashudala shivit. Now we'll do other things that are mitam darkei shalom. We're normally people that are not makbid on halacha properly. We always have this chashad that if we do things with them, we encourage them to be over avera. That's called misayeh alidei ovrei avera. Remember that we have two separate dargazas. One is mamash nisa d'oraisa, which is lifnei iver lo titein mikshol. We're over there, you make it possible for them to do the avera, and without you, they wouldn't have been able to do it. That's a d'oraisa. But then there's also working together or making it easier for them and showing that there's some level of showing that there's some level of approval for what it is that they're doing. And that is also mechazik then. And nonetheless, there are things which are close to that, but in order to avoid all type of religious disharmony, people don't, you don't trust me, my kashrus is not good enough for you, but you know, these kind of arguments, disaster. So because of that, there were things that lemaisa we would have normally viewed as usur, but we were matir because of darkei shalom. So for instance, we have a woman, and she is not all that careful to make sure that nothing is there after the Zman of Bior. She's not makbid on the Bior. And so, be'etzem, she's not allowed to be using that grain. But still, the next door neighbor, who is very makbid, is allowed to lend her things that are going to help her eat that green, so you can lend her a nafa, a kivara, a rechayim, a tanur. So you can lend her the sifter, and you can lend her a grinder, and you can lend her the oven, but don't go so far as to be lo tavur velo titchanima. You can't sort out the grain from the dirt and don't grind together with her, because that already, at that point, you're mamish making it directly the food that she's going to be eating. That you can't do. An eshes chaver is allowed to be mash'elet le'eshet ama'aretz. Now, when we have the question of chaverut, so remember the pashtus of chaverut is the question of, have you taken off your miser? So we generally view that that's the difference between the chaver and the amaretz. The eshes chaver is someone who is makbin 100% on taking off miser. The eshes amaretz is a situation where we have rova meharetz ma'asrim, but the chachamim were gozer. Now, there's other inyanim, which makes this a little bit confusing. We'll see in the Gemara that it's not so pushit what we're talking about, because we also consider an amaretz somebody who's not makbid on the dinim of Tumah V'Taira, remember. So the Gemara is going to get into precisely what the problem is here. Let's assume that we have a question about the maisras, right? So now, if I, the wife of a chaver, lend this woman, who is not makbin on the maisras, enough of a kevara, so then it might look like I am approving of the fact that she's going to be eating these things without taking maisra. And in this case, you are allowed to even work with her. Boreret, vitochenet, umraketet ima. So you can do the cleaning out and the grinding, and you can actually sift the flour with her. And here, it's not considered to actually be miseyer lidei ovri avera. But the moment that she puts water into the flour and starts making a dough, at that point, you're not allowed to. Why? Because at that point, you're really being involved in avera. Now, there's two issues here, and it's not clear which one we're talking about. And this is going to become clear in the Gemara. Number one, the moment that you put the water into it, so if we've been talking about things that are not mukshar lekabel tumah before, then the water, of course, makes the mukshar lekabel tumah. So that might be a problem of tumah. Or there's another problem. The problem is that once she becomes chayevet in challah, so now she starts mixing her dough, so now we're already dealing with a problem of a higher level of tumah, because this is now chulin tefulin l'challah, and that's an iser d'oraisa to actually be metame challah. So, okay, we'll see again in the Gemara which precisely are the questions that this Mishnah is talking about. But nonetheless, whatever we can do that we were matir, kulan lo omru el mipnei darkei shalom. Even what we've allowed is only because of darkei shalom, because of course we would much rather have a complete, clear differentiation between people who are makbid on mitzvahs and people who are not makbid on mitzvahs. You can also be machzikin yedei nochrim b'shviyit. So let's say, we saw this in Masechet Shviyit. If a guy is working in the field in Shviyit, you can tell them, chazak, do a good job, and so on. But you cannot say that to a Yisrael. And you're allowed to say shalom to a guy, even though shalom is shmo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You don't normally want to be mazkir shmo shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu on an eved aveira zara. But we allow it mipnei darkei shalom. So all of these things are extensions of the last piece of our parak. So how do you explain the two? I don't understand. You're not allowed to give someone who is choshur al hashviyas, you're allowed to give them the kelim, but you can't actually help them. Masha'en kein, when you talk about an eshes hama'aretz, where we're assuming that the maaser wasn't taken there, you're allowed to actually help them. You can grind the food with them. I mean, what's the nafka mina? Aren't we actually being mechazek yedei ovrei avira? So there's two possibilities. Omar Abaye, well, there's a big difference, because when it comes to the din of Maisers, remember that they were Baidek and they found that Rova Meha'aretz Arm Asrin. So because of that, there's no chashash over here that she was really over on Midiraisa, not having taken Maisers. Chas v'sholem. This is a special Durabbanan that tell you to be machmer. So the Rabbanan were mevater on their chumra when it comes to darkei shava. Mash enkein, somebody who is really chashuda and we're afraid she's going to be over on shvias directly, that you're not allowed to help. That's not a takana, that's a real chashash. Rava Amar, Rava says, no, that's not the point. The point is you misunderstand the case. When it talks about helping the Eishes Amoretz, it's not talking about an Amoretz that's choshed on not taking off Meiser. It's talking about Rebbe Meir's definition of an Amoretz. Ochob Amoretz to Rebbe Meir. And Rebbe Meir is going to see, he defines an Amoretz as somebody who isn't makbid on Tuma Vatira on Chulin. It's a tremendous madrega. And therefore, this guy is certainly makbid on the dinim of Meiser, but since the din of Tuma Vatira is only a drabbanan, so therefore, this concept of being misayeya and working with them is already something that the Rabbanan weren't makbid on. Masha Enkein, when we're talking about the Amoretz, and Amoretz might be a suffix, if you're talking about, an actual suffix of Meiser, that could be the same thing as the suffix of Shvius. It would be a real, actual suffix, a chashuda. Where is this Rebbe Meir? Titania. Ezeu Amoretz, kol she'enu ocha chulav b'tahara, divrei Rebbe Meir. V'chachonim omrim kol she'enu ma'aser perotav. So basically, you misunderstood. The first part of Mishnah was talking about a chashash on Shvius, a real chashash, and over here we're talking about a takanet rabbanan, which is tremendous chumrah, to make sure that even your chulin is tahor. But wait, Rava, the next case is that as soon as she puts water into the mixture, then the Eishes Chaver is not allowed to help her. So then, that's mashma, that in the Reisha, we were talking about something that had never been exposed to water. Isn't that what it means? So that the Reisha was talking about where it wasn't able to be Mekabel Tumah because it had never been Mukshel Mekabel Tumah. Masha'im came the moment it's Mukshel Mekabel Tumah, then we have to stop. But that means that our Chashash in the Reisha was not a Chashash vis-a-vis Tumah. It was indeed a Chashash vis-a-vis Meiser. So we have our question again. So what's the difference between the Maser and the Shvias? You can't say your Teretz. If we're talking about an Amoretz of Rebbe Meir, and he was relied upon in terms of Maser, what's the problem that what we're going to be Matir? If in this case, why is it only Matir because of Darkei Shalom? There's no Chashash. No. Both cases are talking about, like I said, says Rava, it's talking about Tuma Vatira. But there's a big difference. The Reisha was talking about the Tuma of Chulin, because I didn't yet put in the water that when it says to put in the water, it means to knead. That's what it means. Both cases are talking about was Moksha Lakapal Tuma. And when we're talking about putting in the water, we're talking about making your dough. So therefore, the Reisha, which was talking about Chulin, because I didn't yet start the kneading process, so there's no din of challah. In which case, okay, so we have this Chulin not to be metame Chulin. But once I add the water, meaning once I started to actually make my dough, so over there, I am going to be metame. We're worried about the actual challah. And therefore, in this case, we're makbid not to help her at all, because that could come also mamish to an issur d'oraisa. But what about the braita? The braita makes it clear that that's not true. For aminu, tochanin umafkidin etzel ochel shvias. You can grind your own things with people that eat shvias. You can give them your grain, and they'll hold on to it. And you don't have to worry that maybe they're going to mess it up. Well, you could give it to Eitzolokli Parotein B'Tumah. You could give it even to people who aren't Makben on Tumah V'Taira, because we're not Choshesh that they are going to take your stuff and they're going to substitute their own things, which are Aser B'Shvias, you won't know the difference, or which have become Tameh, and you won't know the difference. But even though you can leave it with them, you can't actually grind it for them. lo le ochle shvias, velo le ochle peroteim betuma, because you are not allowed to help someone who is ochle perosa betuma. Now, Rava said that the whole point of our Mishnah is that as long as it's chulin, that you are allowed to actually work with them on grinding it, because it's not considered to be a misayeli de avera, because the chachamim weren't makpid, since they were the ones who were mechadish this halacha, that you have to be makpid on chulin b'taira. So because of that, they are able to say, mipnei darkei shalom, it's okay. And here it says, it is not okay. Omer Abaye, actually, even though Abaye himself doesn't have a problem, right? As Abaye himself holds that it has nothing to do with that. Rabbi Yehud said, you're not allowed to do that, actually. Somebody who eats his chulun betuma, maybe. That's not a good question. He was talking about the other explanation of the Mishnah, about the normal, the Amoritz. But, I mean, the question over here is, according, I want to explain it, though. I mean, I want to explain it according to Rava, so I'll explain it to you. In the Braita, we're talking about a Kohen. A Kohen who is choshed lechol truma betuma askina. Now that is an issur d'oraisa. So since aveli tuma d'oraisa, in that case, of course, you have to be makbid not to do anything that will make it easier for him to eat that, including cleaning it, grinding it, and so on, because of the d'oraisa. Wait, it's talking about a Kohen who eats betuma? So then how are you allowed to give him the actual tvua? Doesn't it say, Raminu, mafkidim truma etzu Yisrael ama'aretz, velo etzu kohen ama'aretz. Until now, we didn't realize we were talking about a kohen, so then we understood it, because the halacha is that since people in general are makpid on touching truma, and he usually stays away from truma, so because of that, we're not worried. Even though he's an ama'aretz, he doesn't think he's tameh. We consider him to be tameh. But he's careful, Bechlal, to keep his distance from Tumah. But now that you're talking about a Kohen, and we know that this Kohen is not makbid on Bigno Gea Bitumah, Bitruma, so now how is the first part of the Braisa? It says you're allowed to leave it with him. How could you leave it with him? Why won't it become Tumah? Mipnei Shalibo Gaspa. You're not allowed to give it to a Kohen Amaretz, because he's used to touching Tumah. So then the first part of Braisa no longer makes sense. It says you're allowed to leave it by him. We thought that was not talking about a Kohen. Omer Rabbi Eloi, no, when it says you're allowed to leave it by him, it means only in a state in which it's protected from Tumah. So, So since over here it is covered and it's inside of a klicheres and there's no way to be no gia in it, there's no way, therefore, to be metame it. So therefore you're allowed to. That's what it means. But why aren't we afraid that his wife, he's not makbid on the truma of tumah. And that means that he allows his wife, even though she may be a nida, to move his containers of truma. So if you move something that's inside of a klicheres, that is tzamid, that is mukav, tzamid pasil, that's not going to help it to be tahar. It's only from maga or from ohel that that helps. But once you move it and you have a din of metame mishkav u'mosha, so then it'll be Tumah Beheset. So why aren't we worried about, even though the Truma is inside of a Klicheres, it's not going to help it. So why can't I give it to a Kohen of Yisrael? I understand. I can give it to, because they stay away from Truma. This is no good. I wouldn't be allowed to leave it by him. Okay, let's drop that explanation. It's not talking about a Kohen. And Lokasha. The difference is that in the second Braisa, we're talking about Peirot that were already Mukshar lekabel tumah at one point. That's why you cannot give it to a Kohen. Masha Enkein, the first price that was talking about, you're allowed to leave it by them. That's talking about Perot Shalo Hukshar. So since it was never Mukshar lekabel tumah, so then you can give it even to him, because there's no issue of becoming tumah. Really? So then how do you explain the Mishnah in Demai? Here it says, V'raminu, Hamolich, Chitim l'tochen kuti or l'tochen ama oretz hare elu becheskatan l'maaser v'shviit avolo l'tuma. If you bring your chitim, let's say you have your grain, you want to give it to a grinder, miller, or you want to give it to an ama oretz, who is, or to a kuti, So the din over there is we do not assume that at the time that the grinding was done, that it was switched and that he gave you somebody else's chitin. So that you now have to worry about the problem of shvius, the problem of meiser. If you knew it was kosher, now you have to worry. How do I know? This is like bringing in your diamond ring to one of those guys who gives you a nice estimate of the diamond ring, replacing it with a piece of glass. So it's a great business. People do this all the time. All these poor suckers go into the shamai shop and walk out with a nice piece of glass instead of their diamond. But anyway, so the question is, we're not cheshish over there that they switched the grain on you, but you have to be cheshish that it became tame. So you said before that a chover is allowed to give his things to someone who is not makbid about tuma. I understand. Well, what the heck is wrong with you? We just explained that we have two cases. One is a case where it's mukshel kabel tuma, and one is a case where it's not mukshel kabel tuma. What kind of stupid question now? We've been through this already. Hi, my room yet. This year, I understand. Didn't we just finish saying the lavukim lebeperet shalohuk sharu? We said the first price is talking about what is nothing to worry about tuma because it never came in contact with any kind of liquids that would be makshir lekabel tuma. So, what's your question? It's a pretty stupid question. I mean, we're like, what was he thinking? The ka'arila, my ka'arila. Why in the world would anyone intelligent have asked this? The truth is, it was just a trick. Meaning, I wanted to quote this to you in order to be able to ask you a question. And obviously, I know that this per se is not the question, but Bishop de Kabbalah, Mirma Achritel, I wanted to introduce a question to you, okay? So now, I say it this way, even though I understand. I wasn't worried about the tumah. I was worried about the first part, about the meiser and the shviyas. This is my problem. Harei elu b'cheskatan l'maaser v'l'shviyit, which means that we do not worry that the miller switched it on you, right? Even though he's a kuti or not maretz. The problem is that it says in the Mai, in the Mishnah, that we are worried that people switch things on you. Because over here it says, if you give something, you give food to your mother-in-law to cook, right? Now, the mother-in-law is an Eishes Am HaAretz. And so, fine, as far as the tumah was concerned, so the son-in-law made sure she went to the mikvah, whatever. And the din, however, is that when you get the food back from her, here, sweetie pie, I made you a delicious cholent. You have no way of knowing that that's the same food that you gave her. So therefore, now you're going to have to take off trumas and meisers again and so on. Who knows? Shechashuda machlefes hamiskalkel. We're worried that she may give you something that was like a little bit spoiled and she replaced it with her own stuff, you know? And you said we don't have to worry that an Am HaAretz is going to switch things on you, and here it says that you are. Oh, for heaven's sakes, that's a mother-in-law. That's not a normal case. Obviously, a case of a mother-in-law is different. Hasam kirektani taima. It says beferish in the Mishnah that Omer Rebbe Yehuda, what's the reason for this? A mother-in-law is nervous about letting the son-in-law know that he's a jerk. So she doesn't want to say anything. But when he gave her this low quality stuff, she says, oh my God, my poor daughter's going to be eating this. So she switches it without telling him because she wants her daughter to have something that's more healthy. So rotzahi betakanat bita, but she's bosha michatana. She's not going to tell him because she's embarrassed. She doesn't want to get into any arguments with him. Okay, so she replaces it. But a normal person we're talking about, the kusi or the Am HaAretz, who's the one doing the grinding, then we're not cheshish. Really? We're not cheshish, even if it's not a mother-in-law? And what about the Mishnah? Also the Mishnah in Demai, where it says that, hanoten lepundekit, let's have a Talmud Chacham. The minhag was in those days the same way that it used to be in Europe. People would eat what they called kest. So you go to somebody's house, and they would provide a meal for the Talmud Chacham. Over there, they actually used to sleep by the pundekit. So they didn't have dormitories. So the Talmud Chacham, the people would come to learn. So they would stay over in different people's homes. If you give something, let's say you have your own dough, you just ask the pundekit to bake it for you. You just wanted to have some fresh bread, you have to take off the miser on both ends. You have to take off miser from what you give her, because you have to be cautious that she's going to be eating it and stealing it from you. And then when she gives it, and you're not allowed to, as a chover, you're not allowed to give something that was a miser. And then when she gives it back to you, you have to take off miser again, because she's going to switch it on you. You have no reason to assume that the bread that you got back was from the dough that you gave to bake. So apparently, a normal Amoritz, not a mother-in-law, a normal Amoritz is also chashuda. Yeah, but over there it's different. And here we have this, we've spoken about this, the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. It's a question of how cynical you are. We know Rashi is such a sweetheart. He's not cynical at all. So according to Rashi, the meaning of the Mishnah is, Hata Muria Va'omra, she says to herself, the poor yeshiva bocher, you know, I want him to eat something nice, fresh, and warm. So Barbe Rav Lechel Chamima, and I'll eat the older bread. You know, I'm an old lady already. Let the boy have kayach to learn. Tosfos says, bull, this is meant to be read. What? This stupid jerk, Barbe Rav, should eat the chamima and I should eat the kariri? I'm going to flip it and take the good stuff and give him the lousy stuff. Okay, but in any event, this is a special situation because of the fact that she's a pundikis. But what we're talking about, Stam is an Amoritz, and the Stam Amoritz were not choshesh. According to Rashi, we're not choshesh because we don't do something bad. And in this case, she's trying to do something good. According to Tosfos, we don't stam do something bad if we don't have some way of explaining it to ourselves. This isn't bad, it's only what I deserve. Anyway, so far what we're saying is that the norm would be that we do not have to be cheshesh, that somebody flips things on you, and therefore what you gave that was kosher is not what you got back, which might not be. So is that true, though? What about this bright? You're telling me that in general, we don't think that people are going to flip things on you? What about this braita? Eshet chaver tochenet im eshet ama aretz bisman shehi tmei'a. So over here we have the question like this. The eshet chaver herself, if she is tmei'a, then she's very makbid not to touch the tyrus. And that when she goes and helps the Eshes Ama Oretz, so then she's allowed to, you know, move the handle of the grinder and so on. She's not going to come to touch food. Avlo bizman shehi tohara. If she is in a state of tyra, then we're worried that she might accidentally eat some of this stuff because she's not staying away from the food. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, af bizman shehi tmei'a lo titchon, even if she's tmei'a, she shouldn't grind because the chavera ama'aret may take a little bit of it and hand it to her. So the point over here is, as a natural reaction when you're not thinking about something, it's just normal, and you see women doing this all the time. They stick things in their mouth. They're working on something, and it's sort of like automatic. You pop a piece into your mouth while you're working, even though it strikes you as being, what in the world? But okay, with people working with food, they get carried away, and they just don't think about it. And it's sort of automatic, having food in your mouth, to pop it into your mouth, and your hand, pop it into your mouth. So, eino chinami, if she would be tmei'a, she's not going to touch that food. But if the eshes ama'aretz gives her a piece, you know, she'll pop it into her mouth without thinking before she realizes. That's the problem. So now, the question is, this is how Rashi learns, and it's really a little bit dochu, the way Rashi learns. So Rashi learns like this. The fact that she would, even the Eshes Chover, would have popped a piece into her mouth, how could she pop a piece into her mouth if it doesn't belong to her? So again, because somebody handed it to her, so she didn't think. That's how Rashi understands it. So, but what about the Eshes Ama'aretz herself? How did this Eshes Ama'aretz take her husband's food, steal it from him, and hand it to her friend? What right did she have to give it to her friend? So Hashta Mignav Ganva, if she is ready to steal, so Chilufi Lo Michlufa, you're telling me she's not going to exchange kosher for non-kosher? So how can you rely on her that she's not going to switch it? Amar Rav Yosef, because the she doesn't see that as stealing. Asimnani Muri Vamra, a person who's working on something. So she says to herself, listen, even a shor is not allowed to be stopped from eating when it's grinding, right? It's Issur D'oraisa. So if an ox is allowed to eat, I mean, my poor me, you know, I'm his wife. I'm sitting here and I'm grinding the food. I'm not allowed to put a little bit in my mouth and share it. So, okay, so because of that, she says, Tura midijeka achel. It's just the shor that's eating from the work that he's doing. This is how Rashi learns this. So Gittaisus does not like this pshat at all for several reasons. I mean, the difference is to say that because she's not thinking, so the Eishes Chover herself will steal because of that first instant that she doesn't think about it, and that we're not worried about, that that's called stealing. And anyways, points out Taisus, it's not considered to be stealing because it's you're allowed to take little bits of things, even from a woman who you don't know for sure, that her husband said, you can give that away, because that's part of the norm of behavior, and the husband expects her to be taking and sharing with friends and so on. So why would this be considered to be a problem b'chlal? So Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Chanan have a completely different approach to this. It's talking, according to them, with the tefuah not of the Amor. It's talking about the tefuah of the Chaver. And that's actually, it's the Ishta Shlama Oretz can help the Eishes Chover at the time that the Eishes Ama Oretz is Tmeya, meaning she knows herself to be Tmeya. We consider her to be Tmeya all the time. But let's say she's a Nida. So again, it's not that they don't hold of Tumah V'Taira, remember. It's just that they think that they're Makbid enough and that their Begodim are considered to be Tar, and their Kalim are considered to be Tar when they're Tar. But if she knows that she is Tmeya, so the Eishes Ama Oretz herself is Machzeket herself Betuma, so then she, of course, will be careful not to touch the Tfua. But if she considers herself to be Tahora, she's not going to be careful. So when we said, Af Bizman, Sheyi Tmeah Lo Titchon, Mipnei Shechaverta, it's not Chaverta, the Eishes Ama Oretz, that's giving to the Yisraelit. It's talking about her friend, the friend of the Ama Oretz, who is not Tmeya, meaning she doesn't consider herself to be Tmeya. She's not Anita at that time. She may take the food from the Eishes Ama Oretz's food, from the Eishes Chaver's food, and give it. So in other words, she is ready to steal food from the Eishes HaChaver. That already, obviously, she's going to also be Machlefet. Totally different approach to the sugya. All right, gentlemen. Baruch Hashem, offering you my hopefully meaningful brachas for a wonderful day. And looking forward to being zeichet to seeing you tomorrow again. Ezrat Hashem, kol tuv, besorot tovot, and lots of new wonderful things. Kol tuv.